of our message tonight is the violent take the kingdom. The violent take the kingdom. Turn your little fingers to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. We're going to be reading verses 11 and 12. And recently I read a story about a family who had a dog named Buster. I am a dog lover. I love dogs. And Buster likes to wander around. And they say, a yard doesn't have a fence. The owner is saying this. And we don't want to build one or keep him tied, so we purchase a radio fence. And this involves a wire buried in the ground, creating a boundary. And Buster wears a collar that has a battery-operated choking device. And if he gets too close to the wire, he gets a warning beep. And if he crosses the wire, he gets zapped. And the intent of the system is to train the dog to stay within the boundary. Now, being a dog lover, I don't necessarily agree with using these methods with dogs. But it works when we apply it to the forces of darkness. Church, we must exercise power and authority with persistence, since this is the only language that the devil understands. Wow, okay. And if he crosses the boundaries of our lives, yeah, we must stop him.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop him. Yeah. Stop
him. Now, when it comes to the kingdom of darkness, we must develop the boldness that it takes to use a spiritual aggression against the enemy. Jesus was aggressive. So many Christians have a one-side view or understanding of the character of Jesus. Yes, Jesus is loving. Yes, Jesus is merciful. Yes, Jesus is gentle and patient. But Jesus is also a warrior that wants to train us to be warriors like him against the kingdom of darkness. Jesus was aggressive against darkness. And he was specific about our need to exercise holy passion against the devil. Read with me Matthew 11, verses 11 and 12. And he says, "Assuredly I say to you, that among those born of woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Verse 12, highlight that. That is the focus of our sermon tonight. "And from the days of John the Baptist to now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Turn to your neighbor and say, "I want to be violent. I want to take the kingdom of heaven." Now, we know that the kingdom of God is the inheritance of God's children. But what exactly then did Jesus mean by saying that the violent take it by force? What did he mean by that? And that's what we're going to look at tonight in our sermon. Well, first of all, it means this. We are under attack. We are under attack. The kingdom of darkness attacks the kingdom of God. In verse 12, he says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence." Now, John the Baptist's message, in essence, was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, his message was telling to the people at the time, change your ways, clean your hearts, because God is coming. Now, notice there that he didn't say Jesus is coming, but he says, repenting, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It tells us this. There is a correlation between the kingdom of God and God's full manifestation of himself. Says the kingdom of God is God's domain, is his rulership. I'm studying right now and preparing a sermon series that I'm going to bring to you in the next few months, all about the kingdom of God. And it's through Jesus that the kingdom of heaven is manifested now in this present age. When Jesus came and left his throne of glory in heaven, and he came and dwelt among us as a man, he also penetrated the kingdom of God into this earthly realm. So whenever Jesus Christ is exalted, whenever the word of God is honored, the kingdom of God will be manifested. The healing of the kingdom will be manifested. The justice of the kingdom will be manifested. The power and the life of the kingdom will be manifested whenever Jesus Christ is honored. But we are living in a present age where Satan, God has allowed Satan to still have some control. And one of the things that we're going to learn about the kingdom of heaven is that there is a present form of the kingdom and there is a future form of the kingdom. In this present age, the kingdom of heaven manifests whenever Jesus and his word is honored, but it's manifested in a realm called the earthly realm where Satan is still, God has allowed him to have some control. So in this realm, is this present realm, the kingdom of darkness attacks the kingdom of heaven. How does this attack take place? This attack comes through people. People who are under the domain of darkness will attack the kingdom of God. Look at the biblical history that proves this principle. In Exodus chapter 1, the Pharaoh of Egypt commanded the death of all male Hebrew children trying to destroy Moses, God's deliverer for his people. When Jesus was born, we read in the Bible that King Herod tried to murder him by ordering the slaughter of all male children in Bethlehem under the age of 2. Judas betrayed Jesus. And in John chapter 13, verse 27, the word of God says that it was Satan that entered Judas. And the list goes on and on and on. And all these are examples of how the kingdom of darkness attacks the kingdom of God through people that are under the domain of darkness. And this battle never ends in this lifetime. In fact, the closer you get to Jesus, the more viciously the enemy will attack you because of your forward progress. I remember, and I see it in my life, every time that I want to surrender more and more and more, and I want to do more and more and more and more to God, the attacks intensify. So that's why sometimes you hear people, Pastor Ana, I don't understand what's going on. When I was not serving God, I didn't have as many problems as I have now. But the day that I surrendered to God and I began to seek him and I began to look for his will, all of a sudden I'm having financial problems. All of a sudden I'm having health problems. All of a sudden my wife is fighting me all the time, or my husband is fighting me all the time, simply because the kingdom of darkness attacks the kingdom of God. And in the same way that the enemy tried to kill Moses, the same way that the enemy tried to kill baby Jesus, so he will attack us when we are moving forward in our relationship with God. We have to understand something, church, that God gave the Israelites the promised land, but the people still had to fight for the land. And so it is in our life today. God has given us many promises, but we must fight for our promises. The life of a Christian must be characterized by fighting. Fighting against the kingdom of darkness. So the second thing that Jesus is saying in this statement is this. We need to have within us a spirit of bold spiritual attack. We need to have within us a spirit of bold spiritual attack. The kingdom of heaven will be inherited by those who are ruthless in the resolve to take a hold of it. Jesus said that the violent take it by force. Now, something that I want to clarify there. He's not talking about violence that is rooted in darkness. Like I have heard of about some crazy Christians that they put bomb in abortion clinics. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about violence that is rooted in darkness. He's not talking about the type of violence that resides in the murderers or criminals that are sitting in the prison cell right now. Rather, he's talking about a righteous, holy, aggressive spirit against the evil. Jesus gave us the kingdom. It is our inheritance. But we need to learn that it is necessary to fight and fight viciously in order to take it. Recently, one of my family members inherited a very generous amount of money from a family member that passed away. And let me ask you something. Are you aware that even when someone leaves you a will and when someone leaves you an inheritance, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're automatically going to get it? Sometimes, or very often, you have to fight legally for it. So I remember this day, I went with this family member that day to the bank, thinking that it was going to be a very simple transaction. I take the will with me, and all they're going to do, they're going to transfer the money from her account into my account. Wrong. The bank gave her all kinds of excuses not to transfer the money. And they put all kinds of obstacles in order not to transfer the money. To the point that my family member had to hire a will attorney or an inheritance attorney and have the attorney prepare some legal papers to go back to the bank and force the bank to move the money into her name. And even the day that we went with a legal document from an inheritance attorney, the bank still was giving us all kinds of excuses not to transfer the money. As a matter of fact, we get there at 9 a.m. in the morning. I say, we're going to get some money today. 9 a.m. in the morning, and we end up closing the bank that day. And still the bank fighting my family member, fighting us. And we had to wait almost all day. But despite of the obstacle, despite of the opposition, we didn't give up, and we did not leave that bank until the money was transferred to her account. Church, what am I saying? God has given us an inheritance. And the devil is going to bring all kinds of obstacles. He's going to raise all kinds of opposition to stop us from catching that inheritance. But I'm here to tell you that we have an attorney, and his name is Jesus Christ. And you can hire him for free. And he's going to force the devil. And he's going to do whatever is necessary to make sure that that inheritance has your name on it. We must not give up. We must not leave the bank of heaven until we see every of the last riches of God transferred into your name and my name. We need to have the same spiritual resolve against the enemy that Jesus had. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, look at what it says. It says that for this purpose, The Son of God was being manifested. It doesn't say that he came to have a conversation with the devil. It doesn't say that he came to have a meeting with demons. It says that he came so that he might destroy the works of the devil. Radical. Jesus was radical against the kingdom of darkness. When Jesus went to the temple, many of us might know the story, one day, and he found it full of money changers. He drove them out of the temple with a whip. Whenever he encountered Pharisees, he calls them vipers. Whenever he encounters religious folks, he calls them one time whitewashed tomb full of dead man bones. Jesus was aggressive against darkness. He fought it with boldness. He fought it without no hesitation. And he fought it with the authority that is in his name. Now, this doesn't mean that we are not going to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. This doesn't mean that we're not going to walk in love, that we're not going to be walking in peace and gentleness and so on. As a matter of fact, you want to drive the devil crazy? Forgive those that hurt us. Love unconditionally and bless those that do you wrong, and you're going to drive the devil crazy. You want to drive the devil crazy? Make sure you worship Jesus through your trial. Make sure you worship Jesus through your storm, and you're going to blow a blow in the devil's head. So it doesn't mean that we're not going to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. That we're not going to walk in joy, in peace, in gentleness, and so on. But what it does mean is that we must have a holy anger against the devil. Forgiving and turning the other cheek does not mean that we are going to let the enemy tear down our homes and beat up our families. It does not mean that we're going to be a floor mat for the devil to step on. It means that if somebody does something evil, we don't react to it in a fleshy way. It means that we don't go down to their level. It means that we return good for evil. But church, I'm about to teach you something tonight, and I pray that I find the right words to teach this to you. There are times that in a godly way, we also need to defend ourselves. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 22, verse 36. And then he said, because in this occasion, Jesus was talking to his disciples about the supplies that they needed to take to the road, for the road, as they were ministered throughout the nation of Israel. And look what he says to them in Luke chapter 22, verse 36, something very interesting. Then he said to them, but now, he who has a money bag, let him take it. And likewise, as a knapsack. And he who has no sword, a sword is a weapon of defense. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. And in verse 38, they said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he didn't rebuke them. Look what he says. And he said to them, it is enough. What does this tell me? It tells me this, that Jesus is teaching us here that as Christians, even though we are walking in the fruit of the Spirit, and we must walk in the fruit of the Spirit, there are times that we need to defend ourselves. If a thief breaks into your house and threatens your life and the life of your family, you need to defend yourself and you need to defend your family. I keep a holy bag under my bed. And if a thief would ever break into my house at night and threaten my life, that bat is anointed. It has the power of God. I'm going to break some bones. And then I'm going to lay hands on them and pray for healing. Because there are times that we need to defend ourselves. If anyone in church does not submit to the discipline of the church and they hurt the unity of the church, the pastor needs to defend the church and enforce that we break fellowship with that individual. If you are in a physical abusive relationship where your spouse is abusing you physically and sending you to the hospital every month, you need to get out of that relationship in the name of Jesus. If you see injustice, and if you see the works of darkness around you, we need to speak up in a godly way, in a spirit of love, in a spirit of peace, not using violence, but we need to speak up in a godly way. You see, this is the key. A key to dealing with defiled spirits with holy anger is being careful not to express anger in an ungodly way. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says it this way. be angry, and yet do not sin. You know what that means? That in other words, if they do you wrong, getting angry is not a sin. It's like Martha Tennyson used to say, if you say that you don't feel anything, put your finger here and I'm going to hit it with a hammer. And I'm going to see if you're going to feel something or not. So when they do us wrong, or when we face injustice in life, getting angry is not a sin. As long as we aim it at the right target. It means this. It means stop pouring out our frustration in the wrong way and on the wrong people. Stop putting out your frustration on your kids. Stop putting out your frustration on your spouse, on your friends, on your manager, on your pastors. There's some Christians that use pastors as punching bags. They release all the frustrations on pastors. Stop putting out your frustration and your anger on the car in front of you. Stop putting out your frustration and your anger on the person holding the light at the grocery store. I got to make a confession tonight. I went to Publix a few days ago and I was in a hurry.
Oh no.
And all of a sudden, God bless her soul, I get this old tiny old lady with 20 million coupons. Holding the line for more than half an hour. And I said, I'm not fighting her, I'm fighting the devil. I'm not fighting her, I'm fighting the devil. So stop putting out your frustration in the wrong way and the wrong people. And rather release the anger on the one who's really making you feel angry and frustrated. And that is an evil spirit of darkness. Holy anger is a matter of renewing our mind and renewing our thinking to something like this. If you want to write it down, this is going to come handy, I promise you. Lord, my fight is not against flesh and blood. My fight is not against my husband. My fight is not against my wife. My fight is not against my coworker and my manager. But my real problem is the spiritual battle that I'm in. There is an evil spirit tormenting me and making me feel mad and frustrated. And let me release my anger on the spirit of darkness operating in this situation rather than the person. Did you write all of that down?
Yeah.
I can give you a photocopy after service. Because I can guarantee you that the Lord will test us on this, beginning with me. So this is the point, folks. When you get mad and frustrated, if you use those feelings against the enemy rather than against the people, the enemy is going to run away from you and leave you alone. I guarantee you.
Wow.
Church, we are not going to win this battle by fighting on the natural. We're not going to win this battle by getting mad at each other and gossiping against each other. We're going to win it when we use the spiritual weapons that God has given us in His Word. Forgiveness is a nuclear weapon. Did you know that? Because when we think about fighting the devil, automatically we think rebuking rebuke in the name of Jesus. And then we get out of the church and we leave that the devil. A spiritual word, yes, we need to pray. Yes, we need to take authority. And yes, we need to rebuke. But there's also other weapons that we must use in this war. And one of the most powerful weapons against the devil is forgiveness. When you forgive someone that has offended you, you must be mad with someone tonight. If you're mad with someone tonight, I'm going to ask you to do something. Tomorrow morning, buy them lunch. Buy them a breakfast. Buy them something. And I guarantee you that you're going to give the devil a headache. Next time that you feel mad, when you're going through a trial, when you're going through a tribulation, let the joy of the Lord fill our hearts. Begin to sing. Begin to dance. Begin to praise. Begin to shout. God is good. And you're going to give a blow to the devil.
Yes.
Also, there is a greater anointing that will be in release in your life. When you learn to stop releasing your anger in the wrong way and at the wrong people. And at the wrong people. Lastly, the third thing that Jesus is saying here in this statement, that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force, is that in order to possess the kingdom of God, we need to drive out the enemy ruthlessly. Ruthlessly, no mercy. Church, something that I have learned. If you fail to have a combative spirit against darkness, you are going to miss many of the kingdom's blessings. A Christian that does not fight the kingdom of darkness is a Christian that is going to miss many blessings from God. Look at how God views the enemy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. This is what God says to his people as they're getting ready to possess the promised land. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. This is loving God saying this. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 3, you see it again. And there's many scriptures that I can give you, but for the sake of time, I'm only going to give you those two. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 3, he says, therefore, understand today that the Lord your God, it is he who goes over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and bring them down before you. So you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly. No mercy, no medium term, no meeting, no negotiation, and no entertaining. You shall destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said to you. And the question is, why was all this kind of destruction necessary? Very simply, if the Israelites have been soft, in the same way that many Christians are soft today, if the Israelites have been soft on the enemy, then they would have hindered God's people from receiving all that God had for them. They would have been a distraction to them, not allowing them to focus on God. In the same way, if you don't destroy the enemies that are attacking you, you are not going to be able to possess the promised land that God has for us. God wants to bless your marriage. God wants to bless your family. But you need to drive out the enemy completely out of your marriage. You need to get rid of thoughts and attitudes and actions and words that are allowing the enemy to take a place in your marriage. You must be radical against the fight against the evil and have nothing. Do we know what nothing means? Nothing with the works of darkness. We can show no mercy in our battles against evil. No mercy in the battle against evil. A leader that shows mercy against the devil is a leader that God is not going to be able to trust with much. I thank God for the pastor that we have in this church. Because that woman of God is a warrior. And if it wasn't for that warrior spirit within her, the devil would have destroyed this church a long time ago. We can show no mercy in our battles against evil. The enemy is always, underline always, the enemy is always going to oppose you and trying to hinder you from God's purpose. The enemy wants to steal everything from you. The enemy wants to destroy everything from you. The enemy wants to leave you bankrupt, broken, and dead. And we need to recognize this and hate him with a holy indignation. I tell you boldly right now, I hate the devil. I hate sin. I hate demons. And I hate the devil. I hate sin because I know what sin can do in a person's life. How can it can kill a person, both spiritually, emotionally, and physically? Now, you might have a trouble connecting hate with God. But there are many scriptures where the Bible says that God hates something. For instance, you're going to find it in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 19. For the sake of time, write it in your notes and you can study it at home. It says there that God hates six things in that scripture. Among them, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, write that one too. It says that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In other words, Christians that fear the Lord, they hate the devil. They hate sin. They hate the kingdom of darkness. Friends, in closing, and I'm going to ask the worship team to start coming on. We cannot be controlled by people. We cannot be controlled by human emotions. Because we're saying amen tonight. But whenever we have to discipline someone in church that is your best friend, are you going to say amen then? Or are you going to allow the emotions to get in the way? When you have to look someone in the face and say, I love you, but I cannot go to this party, or I cannot take place in this conversation because it's ungodly, are you going to be doing that, or are you going to be controlled by people and emotions? We cannot be controlled by emotions. We cannot be controlled by the enemy. We need to get radical for Jesus. Because it says there that the violent take it by force. So to possess the kingdom of God, we need to understand that we are, number one, under attack. That the kingdom of darkness attacks the present form of the kingdom of God. Number two, we need to understand that we need to have within us a bold spirit of a spiritual aggression against the devil. And number three, we need to drive out the enemy ruthlessly. Out of our marriage, out of our church, out of our finances, out of our mind, out of our heart, out of our emotions. We need to kill every single one of them so that therefore we can possess everything that God has for us as his people. Let's close in prayer. Jesus, I thank you for the word. And I thank you, Lord. Because this is a truth that we need to see, we need to understand. And I pray that we do. That we are in a war. The call to Christianity is a call to enroll in a mighty army that is not of this world, but is supernatural. It's in the spiritual realm. And Lord, I pray that as we sit under the teaching of this word, that tonight, right now, there will be a holy indignation that rises within us. When we see what the enemy is trying to do with our marriages. When we see what the enemy is trying to do to this nation. When we see what the enemy is trying to do to your church. And that we will take a bold stand against the enemy. That we will not hesitate to appropriate all the weapons that you have given us in your word. That we will not hesitate to use the authority that you have given us in the name of Jesus. To use the truth of the word of God. And also to allow the fruit of the spirit to be manifested in our lives. Because that is one of the biggest blows that we have against the kingdom of darkness. Lord, let a holy indignation rise up within us right now. When we see what the enemy is trying to do with our health. How he's trying to use sickness and disease to paralyze us. And to steal the blessing, the purpose of God in our lives, oh God. That there will be a holy indignation that rises within us. When we see what the enemy is trying to do with this nation. How he wants to destroy this nation. How he wants to destroy this generation. That we will no longer fight against each other. Fighting for political views and political parties while the enemy and the devil is having his way. But that we will come together in the name of Jesus with one heart, one accord, and one purpose. And it will be to destroy the enemies that come against the church of Jesus Christ. Let that holy indignation rise within us. If you say with me, Pastor Ana, I want to join you in that fight. I want to be violent for Jesus. I want to have a bold spirit of aggression against the kingdom of darkness. And I want to fight the good battle of faith against the devil and against for my marriage, for my family, for my church, for my nation, for my finances, for my health. If that is the desire of your heart, I want you to raise your hand right where you are. And let's stand up in the name of Jesus. Let's all stand up in the name of Jesus. Let's all make a declaration of faith as we receive this word with obedience. It's not easy. It's a word that our minds and maybe our human emotions will not comprehend. But it's a word that is written in the Bible. And let's all make that determination today. And let's all say, Lord, from now on, I refuse to compromise or entertain anything in my life that comes from the kingdom of darkness. I am not going to be controlled by people. I am not going to be controlled by human emotions. I am not going to be controlled by the intimidation of the devil. But whenever I see darkness, I'm going to fight it with the spiritual weapons that you have given me in your word and in the authority of the name of Jesus. I say yes to you. Make me violent. Give me a spirit of a spiritual aggression, bold aggression against the devil, against the kingdom of darkness, so that we can walk in the victory, in the freedom, in the blessing that you have for us as your people. In Jesus' mighty name. If you meant it, say amen with me.
Amen.
As a symbolism of unity. Yes. Amen.